Jim Elliot said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." It's been on my mind. It's been on my heart this week. I think a lot of times people think that missionary is sacrifice. They give up a lot. But in my heart, we didn't sacrifice anything to do what God's called us to do. I mean, gave up a good paying job, both of us. I didn't care. It's what God called us to do. We rented our house out to a family in our church. Sold all of our furniture, how many months? 2 months before we hit the road. For 2 or 3 months, we were sitting in lounge chairs in our living room with a stand-up lamp, eating off TV dinner tables. It didn't bother me. It's what God's called us to do. It's no sacrifice to go 8,000 miles to the other side of the world to share the gospel with a people who desperately needs it. It's no sacrifice for the White family. It's no sacrifice for Brother Stephen and his wife. We practiced before this. I just didn't want to mess it up. Villarreal. No sacrifice for them to give up anything here in America that they had. It's no sacrifice to serve the Lord. I don't believe it's a sacrifice. I believe that it's something that God has called every one of us to do at any age. If you're saved, God's called you to be a servant to Him. I'm just going to read a passage and then I'd like you to stand with me and read Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Romans chapter 10 and verse 1. This is a verse that has been on my heart for quite a long time. And I got to tell you, I love to hear the turning of the pages of God's Word in church. A cell phone doesn't do that. I do have a Bible app on my phone. And when I go to the next chapter, I don't hear the turning of the pages. So I like to hear the pages turning. God's Word says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." I'm not adding to and I'm not taking away from God's Word, but I want to change one word in here and read it like this. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for New Zealand is that they might be saved." My burden for the people of New Zealand stems not just from the Kiwi people. It's not just for the Kiwi people. The New Zealanders are called Kiwis. It's not just for them. But for all the other nationalities that live in New Zealand. Whether they be Filipino or Asian or whatever they might be. And for the Maori people in the Northland part of New Zealand. They all need the gospel. They all need to be saved. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for New Zealand is that they might be saved. Heavenly Father, I need You tonight. I pray that You would cleanse me of sin. I pray that You would empty me of myself. And I pray that You would fill me with Your Spirit tonight. Help me to say only what You'd have me to say. Nothing more, nothing less. I need You now more than ever. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. How many times do we go... Well, before I get into that, Pastor, I want to say thank you for the opportunity to be here. This has been a blessing. I told the pastor before the service tonight, I said, I don't know how I'm going to do this because I'm following after four guys who really know how to preach. And I've enjoyed it. But I'm thankful and I'm grateful that we have the opportunity to be here. I'm thankful for the way you've taken care of us. You've loved on us. You've given us a great place to stay for the last 4 days. And that hotel is very comfortable. It gives us an opportunity to spread out a little bit and relax and definitely get some work done. We got some schoolwork done. We got some studying done and made some phone calls. And God was good. We actually got a meeting today because we needed a prophet chamber for our trip down to Florida. And this guy says, "Well, we've got a prophet chamber. You can definitely stay with us. And while we don't have a Wednesday evening service, we do have one on Thursday. So why don't you just come and be prepared to preach, present, sing, do whatever you do, and We'll go from there. I said, well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. I appreciate that very much. So I'm very thankful to the Lord for that. Turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 7. A very familiar passage to some and maybe new to others. I don't know for sure. But how many times in our life do good things happen to us? And what's the first thing you want to do? You want to pull out your cell phone and either text or call your best friend and say, hey, guess what just happened? Hey, I got good news. I've got great news for you. I just saved 15%. I'm going to switch my... Brother Eric, I'm sorry. I was just making you laugh all week. And that's not my intention, but whenever we have good news, what do we want to do with it? We want to share it, right? The young ladies are like, I just met this boy. Dad's like, I don't think so. And maybe the young man is saying, Dad, I met a girl. That's good news. That's good news. But many times, the good news that we have that needs to be shared doesn't get shared. And we hold our peace. And that's the title of my message tonight, is we hold our peace. 2 Kings chapter 3, verses 4 through 9, it says this. If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. And they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come unto the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. I'm not reading in the right place, am I? I missed verse 3, and I apologize. That would be helpful. Let me go back. And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. 2 Kings chapter 7. Verses 3 through 4. Okay, I really messed that up and I apologize. Anyway, we're going to move on. 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 3. And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. And if they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. Now look down at verse 9. Then they said one to another, we do not well. This is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. So here we have four men, four leprous men, sinners if you will, leprous and sitting outside the city gates of Samaria. The Syrians have surrounded the city of Samaria, and the things within the city are really bad. Look at 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 28, and we're going to talk a little bit about how bad things really are. The king is walking along the wall of the city, and these two women stop him. In verse 28 it says, and the king said unto her, what aileth thee? And she answered, this woman said unto me, give thy son, that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. And verse 29 says, so we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her the next day, give thy son, that we may eat him. And she hath hid her son. That's how bad it was in the city, folks. People were eating things they shouldn't be eating. They were doing things they shouldn't be doing. In verse 30 it says, and it came to pass when the king heard the words of the woman, that he rent his clothes, and he passed by upon the wall. And the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. The purpose of sackcloth and ashes in this time was a custom of indicating a mourning before God, or humility before God. But the king's response to the thing these two mothers had said, he rent his clothes and he wore sackcloth instead of his kingly robes. Now his last statement in the chapter did not indicate humility before God, but rather anger for something that wasn't God's fault. It wasn't God's fault that the city had been surrounded by the enemy. It was because the sin of the people and God's judgment had come upon them. I wonder if we as Christians would see this world as the king did. As vile as he was, saw his own people. If we saw the world the way this king saw his people, would it change the way we interact? Would it change how we feel about people? Would it change our hearts toward the fact that they need the gospel? Or would we say the same thing about our pastors and spiritual leaders and blame them for the crisis that has taken hold of America today? Please understand that there are some in this world today that are considered to be leaders. They're nothing more than liars and cheats and charlatans. And they're leading a host of people to a place called hell with their prosperity, feel-good gospel. Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me." Do we lift up Christ in our daily lives so that they may see and believe? These four men sitting outside the gates of the city, they had a unique perspective. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 7 and we'll look back at verse 3. 2 Kings 7 and verse 3, and it says very simply, "And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, 'Why sit we here until we die?'" They had a unique perspective on their life and their situation. Now they saw first, they saw themselves first of how they really were. They saw their true condition. They saw that if they remained where they were going to die. They knew it. They were sick. And then in verse 3, it says, "Why sit we here until we die?" At some point in our lives, we had to have a unique perspective about our condition. Because someone showed us that if we remained where we were, we would die. We would die without Christ and spend eternity in a lake of fire if our condition remained unchanged. Has your condition changed? I don't know your heart. Only God knows your heart. The pastor doesn't know your heart. He might have a pretty good idea. But only God knows, and you know, the condition of your heart tonight. If your condition hasn't changed, if you're still in sin tonight, like these four lepers, I would encourage you before the end of the service to get to know who Jesus is. Anyone here, the pastor, the assistant pastor, be glad to show you what it means to be saved. Has your condition been changed? Have you seen yourself as you truly are? Has there been a time in your life where you saw that if you remained where you were, you would spend eternity in hell? Look at Luke chapter 16 and verse 19 with me. Luke chapter 16, verse 19, very familiar passage. The rich man here had everything that he wanted. He didn't hold anything back from what he desired. The Bible tells us that he clothed himself well, he lived above the means of the poor people. He probably didn't withhold anything from himself. Luke 16, 19 says, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day." There was another man in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 9 through 11 says, "So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. And also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever my heart desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun." Everything that he had was pointless. Solomon had a unique perspective that no matter what he put into his life, it was all vanity. There's nothing in this world that will satisfy the soul. The only way to be satisfied in this life is through Jesus Christ. He is the only one that can fill the void that so many today are looking to fill with all kinds of things. Jesus Christ is still waiting at the cross. No matter how many people come to the cross, there's always still room for one more. Do you need to be that one more tonight? The Holy Spirit may be standing at the door of your heart tonight. He may have been standing there knocking at the door of your heart all week, quietly speaking to your heart saying, "Will you accept me? Will you let me in?" He's not screaming. He's not jumping up and down waving his arms. The still small voice that spoke to Elijah may be speaking to you this week. What's your perspective tonight? What is your perspective? Do you see yourself as you really are, or do you see yourself as God sees you? As Isaiah said in Isaiah 64:6, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags." Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? Have you put your faith and trust in Him? Can you look back on a time where you made that relationship personal because your perspective had changed? If not, tonight is the night to make that decision, to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. These four lepers also had a unique perception. Look at verse 4 of 2 Kings chapter 7. It says, "If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall but die." Not only did they see themselves as they were, but their condition became very clear to them. They saw that they could sit where they were and continue on and die, or they could go into the city where there was not much better conditions than what they were currently having. They'd have something to eat. It wouldn't be very good for them, and it would probably be pretty nasty, but they're going to die in the city too. So they said, "Hey, you know what? The Syrians probably came with food, and they probably came with water. Why don't we go and check that out? Why don't we go see?" How often do we sit and consider our own plight, our own situation? How often do we contemplate our lives and think, you know, the world looks pretty welcoming from where I sit? But once we get inside and spend any time there, we find that we become starved because of the famine that has taken hold of the world today. The greatest crisis in our world today is not homelessness or climate change, which unfortunately has become the next apocalyptic thing that's going to destroy all of us. The greatest crisis in our world today is the spiritual famine that has taken place and taken hold. Satan has besieged this world with every pleasure imaginable and used it not only to blind those who are lost and on their way to hell, but he's also used it to blind and capture Christians, blinding them to the needs of their own hearts. He used work and activities to fill the schedules of Christians to keep them out of church. I'm glad to see this building has been full all week. I can't tell you what a blessing it is to see this, Pastor. We've been in missions conferences where Sunday morning was a great crowd. Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, 10, 15 people. He's used work and activities. He's filled our lives with so many responsibilities to keep us from soul winning. Satan has caused Christians to believe the lie that the church is not important. If we treated our jobs the way we treat Christ, I don't think we'd be working for very long. We'd soon be unemployed. Our bosses tell us when we are to arrive and when we're to leave work. Some tell us when we're supposed to take breaks and when we're going to have lunch and when we can leave for the day. The writer of Hebrews gave us one of Christ's commands when he said in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25, "And let us consider one another to provoke and to love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." He didn't tell us we need to spend less time in church as we see the day approaching. He said we need to spend more time in church. Deputation has opened our eyes to the fact that many Christians don't want to be in church. Many churches don't have Sunday evening services. Many don't have Wednesday evening services. It's a Sunday morning only situation. I don't know if it's because they just don't have enough folks coming out to make it worth the effort. There's a spiritual famine in our world today, and it's because the soldiers of the cross have deserted their post. These four lepers had a unique perspective in them. They recognized their condition, and they had a unique perspective because they recognized that there is a famine, and they knew that if they went into the city, they would die. So they made a decision that gave them a unique provision. 2 Kings chapter 7, verses 5 through 8 says, "And they rose up in the twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, "Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the Egyptians to come upon us." These four men had a unique provision. You see, the Syrians had surrounded Samaria, and then miraculously God said, "Shoo." And he sent the noise of an army and horses and chariots. It scared the Syrians off, and they tucked tail and ran. And they left all this food and water, left all their wealth strewn from there until the river they had to cross to get there. See, the condition inside the city was quite terrible. Once again, folks were eating things they shouldn't be eating. The king heard this, and rather than falling on his face before God and giving, he got rather angry at the man of God and blamed him for the conditions of his nation, of his city. We live in a world today where Christians are blamed for all kinds of things. I'm surprised that we haven't been blamed yet for climate change, but maybe that'll be in the headlines next week. I don't know. But what we see here is that we have a merciful God who does so much for mankind, and yet they don't see it. They can only see Him as this terrible being. And Brother Stephen touched on this the other night. They see God as this terrible being who's looking down on mankind, wringing His hands, trying to think up the next judgment that He wants to pass on man. What's the next evil thing that I can throw at Him? What's the next judgment that I can give to the earth? The Bible tells us that God is a loving God. These four lepers had a unique provision that was given by God, and everything that we have comes from God. James 1:17 says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." God gives us good things, and He gave the spoil of the Syrians to these four men. The last part of 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 4 says, "Now therefore come, and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die." They rose up, they went into the camp of the Syrians, and they found what their souls desired. They found food, they found water, they found clothing. And once they had eaten their fill, I'm probably using a little license here, but they sat back and they enjoyed what they probably felt was a well-earned comfort. Eating and drinking and relaxing. And then it hit them. What are we doing? What are we doing? They had a unique perspective. They had a unique perception and a unique provision. But finally, they had a unique proclamation. 2 Kings 7:9 says, "Then they said one to another, we do not well. This is a day of good tidings." And listen to this next four words. "And we hold our peace." These four men, sick as they were, knowing they were going to die, realized that there was a city that needed help. They needed what these four men had. They knew that the people in the city were dying because of what they were doing, what they were eating. They weren't going to live. They recognized that the famine was claiming the lives of their fellow countrymen. They recognized they had a responsibility to do the right thing and share what they found with a dying land. They recognized that for them to hold on to what they had found and keep it for themselves was wrong. They said, "We do not well. This is a day of good tidings. We have what they need." Jesus told the woman at the well that He is the living water. He says, "I am the bread of life." We as Christians have the living water. We as Christians have the bread of life. Do we share it? Or do we hold on to it? God has called each of us to proclaim to the world the good news of salvation. And we don't do it. I regret the times the Holy Spirit has prompted me to share the gospel. And I didn't do it. I regret the times when I've had to go to the lobby of the hotel, thinking in my heart, "I hope I don't see anybody on the elevator." I regret those times. I regret the times that the Lord has prompted me to say something and said, "You need to go and talk to that person." And I didn't do it. How many times have each of us held our peace and not proclaimed to the world that Jesus loves them? That He died, He was buried, He rose again, and that He shed His blood on a cross called Calvary, and He can still save today. God's Word tells us that today is the day of salvation. It says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. These four men went into the city and they told the city what they had found. They banged on the door of the gates of the city and they said, "Hey, we've got food, we found water, we found what the city needs." One man didn't believe. But the porter of the city went and told the king. And the king said, "Hey, this is probably a trap. So I want to send out a couple of scouts." And so he did that. And they came back and they confirmed to the king, "The lepers are right." They threw the gates open. And the Bible says that the people went out of the city and they found what they needed. Folks, we have a responsibility to share with the world what God has given to us freely. Freely given, freely received, freely given out. Why do we hold our peace? Why do we hold our peace? If the world saw and heard Jesus in us, what good would that do for this world? Heavenly Father, thank You for the time that we've had in Your Word tonight. I pray that You would bless the rest of this service now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.